Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. There's an interesting debate in the food service world whether to abandon the longtime tradition of tipping servers. As we all know, there is no such thing as a free lunch. This change would come at a price. Tips go, menu prices rise. We'll be talking later, and we'll want you to weigh in on this subject. But first, for several decades, the Miriam School in Webster Groves has been helping kids from pre-kindergarten through eighth grade who have learning disabilities. As we observe Learning Disability Awareness Month this month, it's more critical than ever that these young people be given every chance to become a productive part of the mainstream workforce and community. That's where Miriam comes in. We're talking today about how to give kids that chance. Joining me in studio are Joan Holland, head of the Miriam School, and has been working with students with learning disabilities for 35 years. Emma Wallace is a 13-year-old eighth grader at the Miriam School, and her mom, Melissa, is also with us in studio. Thank you all so much for being with us. Nice to see you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Joan, let me start with you. Give me some sense of the range of the disabilities of your students.
We work with kids with complex learning disabilities, and so what that means is our kids have average to above average intelligence, but may have problems with attention, learning, sensory motor, language. And so most of our kids have more than one of those issues, which is why we call it complex learning disabilities.
And how do you deal with this?
The first thing we do is look for an evaluation. We want to see what an intelligence test and an achievement test would tell us, and then we meet the kids. And taking both of those things into account, we create a program that's individualized for each child.
Now, you actually have two operations at Miriam. One is the Miriam School and the other is the Learning Center. What is the difference between the two?
The Miriam School is a full-time day school. We serve kids 4th through 8th grade, and we have 4 occupational therapists, 3 speech and language therapists, 10 special education teachers for the 96 kids that we work with during the regular traditional school year. The Miriam Learning Center was created in 2007 to extend our program into the community. We wanted to reach kids who either didn't need or had difficulty or lived too far. We wanted to reach them with our services. And so we added evaluations, tutoring, speech and language therapy, occupational therapy, social skills groups. And so kids come to our location for those services. And the Learning Center also goes out into schools to provide those services.
Now, you've been around for a long time.
I
mean, the school has been around, not you necessarily. The school's been around since the 50s, if I'm correct. What sort of success stories can you tell me?
Well, for sure, we have one here today.
That's what I was leading.
Kids generally come to our school after they've had a difficult experience in their last school. They wouldn't really come to us if everything was working right in their previous school. And so some of our kids come when they're very young and stay 2 or 3 years because they've gotten the compensatory skills that they need. Other kids come and stay from kindergarten through 8th grade. And many kids, and Emma's one of them, come from middle school. Middle school tends to be a very difficult time for everyone. And so parents come to have a bridge between elementary school and high school that's safe.
Right. Let me turn to Emma now. And give me some sense of what it was like for you. You were having a difficult time of some sort. What was going on?
Well, I was having a hard time. I have anxiety, and I was also having a hard time sitting still in my seat. And I really just, wasn't getting the attention I needed for my disability.
All right. And so finally you went to Miriam. And how has life changed for you? How have these things changed?
It's been amazing. Miriam has helped me so much with everything. My anxiety has gone way down, and the teachers are amazing there.
All righty. Well, we'll take your word for it. The record would seem to substantiate that. I'll turn now to Mom, Melissa. Tell me what was going on in your world before Miriam.
Well, Emma, she is such a fighter, and she was achieving in elementary school, but always struggling to do so. And we recognized early on that She maybe needed something beyond a traditional learning environment. And especially when we were looking at middle school, we became really concerned that she might sort of get lost in the traditional setting. And we were guided towards Miriam, where her main disability has been ADHD, which obviously caused a lot of anxiety and stuff for her. And the way they just specialized the learning to meet Emma, the small class sizes, just simple things, being able to sit on a ball so she can move while she learns, and, you know, being able to take an OT break if she needs it. These aren't things that were even chew gum. It's something that they found is helpful. It made it a safe place for her to learn and to grow. And because every kid there is sort of working on something, you're not dealing with as much as that judgment that you would get in a traditional mm-hmm. middle school setting, which is just hard anyway. So it's been unbelievable for her.
How did it change your life?
Oh. I can't tell you the feeling of being able to drop off your child at school and drive away without that heavy feeling sitting on what's going to happen today. It was like for the first time we could breathe in a very long time, because our family was so stressed trying to get through homework and, you know, trying to help her achieve the best we could, but we didn't know what else to be doing. And at Miriam, it was like they got it. You know, like not, you know, we were partners in it together. I could leave her with them and know she's safe, she's learning, and not only that, she's happy. Like, she was just so much happier. And so that made our whole family happy, because of course that's what we want, is for her to succeed. And it wasn't just us, our grandparents, everybody. Like, we just all noticed the change, and so it was just exactly what we needed at the right time.
Emma, did you have any sense that this was going on with your parents and grandparents, that you know, your situation was a problem for them in terms of coping with it?
A little bit. You know, it was hard to realize at first that I was, you know, having anxiety and stuff, and it got really bad. And so we were trying to, and like my mom said, I was going into middle school, and so we wanted to find something that could help everyone in my family.
Have you noticed a difference in them? Obviously, there's a great sense of relief that what has been going on at Miriam has been working so well.
Yeah, there's they've been a lot happier for me, you know, because they are always smiling, and that makes me happy. And I think it just helped everyone in my family.
And how does that make you feel?
It makes me feel really happy that I can make them happier.
And Joan Holland, that's
yes.
a good thing,
yes, that's
obviously.
That's a great thing.
This, I'm assuming, is probably a fairly typical story.
It absolutely is. I think one of the things we do is we partner with parents. We're small enough. We only have 96 kids. Mm-hmm. So by the time a child has been there one semester, I know enough about them to be able to talk to their parents and help them make decisions that will help their family. So the size of our school is just wonderful, and our parents are wonderful.
Well, what about class size? 96 students, how is that broken down?
10 is our average class size. And our parents drive from, we have 60 zip codes. We have parents who drive an hour away. And so that's how committed they are, which means we're that much committed to them. And we're just very lucky to have that kind of a parent community.
Melissa, how closely do you work with the folks at Miriam?
Oh, we know each other well. It's sort of like a second family. So, you know, because I'm not going to say, you know, everything's been perfect since we've been there. And of course, we meet our challenges along the way, but I know them as they arise. We're always talking about them. We're always communicating. It's an open door. And I don't, it's not like I have to make an appointment. If I was dropping off, I can just stop in and say, hey, is Missy here? Can I talk to her? It's just, it's great. You've got somebody right there to talk to. And I've had really a great experience with that, because they've been there for us every step of the way. So.
Emma, what's the next step for you? I mean, you're not quite ready for high school, are you? Or are you?
Well, it depends. I don't want to leave Miriam because it's been so great to me. But I know that I have to leave for high school, even though I wish they would have a high school there. But, you know, I know that I have to move on and from Miriam, but I can always visit, and I can always say hi to the teachers and say hi to everyone.
Joan, could could Emma then become part of the learning center population?
She absolutely could. We do have children who leave and go to high school who then come back for tutoring, speech and language therapy, occupational therapy.
So she's not being cast adrift.
Not
she
at
still
all.
Can maintain ties with Mary. That Emma, I'm hoping and I'm sure makes you feel better.
It really does.
Yeah, good. We'll take a break now. We'll come back and talk more about the Miriam School and the good work that they're doing at the Miriam School. With me in studio is Joan Holland, who is the head of Miriam. Also with us in studio are Emma and Melissa Wallace. Emma is an eighth grade student about to move on at the end of this year. And Melissa, of course, is her mom. Back in just a moment with more of this discussion. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again, and welcome back to our conversation about Miriam School. With me in studio are Emma Wallace and her mother, Melissa, and also Joan Holland, who is the head of Miriam. Joan, let me come back to you with regard to this transition from Miriam to high school for these kids. This has got to be a somewhat difficult transition, kind of a jolt to the system, I would get. Is Miriam involved in any of that?
We are very involved. We began middle school in 2002, so we now have many years of experience in how to help this transition go as smoothly as possible. We have some schools where our children have gone and done well, and so we work with parents to talk about, you know, very practical kinds of things, how close do you live to the school that you want to attend. Finances are all also in play. The needs of the kids are the paramount issue. And so we work with parents really beginning. It's getting earlier every year. We're working with people in the seventh grade year now because parents are very concerned. This is a big change, like you said. In the beginning of the eighth grade year, we meet with the parents, find out what their goals are. We know the kids by then also. We go with parents to particular schools to see if a school, to give our impression about the school and how they would fit the needs of the kids.
Why is it established or was it established to have an eighth grade cutoff?
We felt like we were looking at an elementary model that would work best for our kids, and elementary being pre-K through eighth grade. Our kids tend to be a little younger emotionally. And so they all fit together really well. So that was the reason.
Right. Melissa, about this transition, are you looking at that with any kind of trepidation?
Sure. you know, my husband and I started thinking about it last year, but I kept being reassured that we were going to have help. And so sure enough, I've got my letter, you know, at the beginning of the school year this year saying, this is Emma's transition team. We're going to set up our first meeting. We're going to walk you through this process, which, oh, thank you so much, because it's hard to know what to do. And so we did. We had our first meeting, and we've actually already made a couple of site visits. And we're scheduling a couple more to go with her coordinator. And they're really helping to guide us because there are so many things we're taking into consideration, not only what would be the right fit for her, what we can afford, what, you know, there's just so much. It's such a huge decision to make. But they're there with us, helping us make that decision. And they're including Emma as part of that process, which is important.
So Emma will be going to a private school? Is that right?
We're actually looking at both private and public options to get putting her back in the public school system.
All things being equal, would you prefer that the Miriam program go through the high school years?
That is a great hot topic going on right now at Miriam School. And I would say my knee-jerk reaction was yes. Oh, my gosh, we would love to have a high school. Because how great. What a seamless transition. Mostly because I will tell you she's made some of the best friends she's ever had in her entire life. And it's going to be hard seeing them sort of lose that core group. That being said, there's also something to be gained from knowing that she had this wonderful, safe transition space, but at some point she has to go back out into the real world, so to speak. And I think that she's got those skills now to do that. And so even with without having the high school for Miriam, she's got that Miriam sort of like lifting her up and holding her up and helping her move on to that next step, which is really what they're about. It's about getting them through and helping them grow, not being stuck, you know?
Yeah, and if the transition weren't made now, it would have to be made later. At some point, it's going to have to happen.
It is. So if it's, you know, and after that is college. So, you know, I think as hard as it is, because we love Miriam and we don't want to leave, I think that there's also some benefit in moving on and taking what she's gotten from Miriam and still having their support behind us, certainly. Yeah. But helping her make, again, another step towards hopefully that college and her future.
Yeah. Emma, you're part of this transition process, as was indicated, that you're part of the coordination for making this next move. What are the kinds of things that you've learned and that you're most interested in as they talk about your future?
Well, I've learned that I have to move on, apparently. But
No, I think you have to move on.
But you know, I've learned that this won't be, you know, just my parents and the school. I will be involved, and that's a really great thing, so that I can pick my high school that I'm going to so I can have a good future. And so that, you know, I can be involved in everything. And, you know, I would want a high school, too, at Miriam, but I think if I stayed longer, I would get even more attached to Miriam, and I wouldn't want to leave even more.
What are some of the other things you're involved in, aside from the selection of your high school?
Well, I'm actually doing we do reading groups and math groups, so I get to switch classes to get into switching classes for high school. Also, we're doing a monster project right now where you get to build a monster.
Well, it is Halloween time.
It is. Yeah, we also had the book fair last week, I believe it was, and I got a lot of books there because I love reading. And then also, for after Miriam, I do cheer at Miriam, and that is one of my favorite things.
Do you find, Joan Holland, that the youngsters making this transition do it relatively easily? Obviously, you work very hard at making it as easy as possible, but is it easy?
The transition to high school alone is never easy. There are going to be bumps along the way for all kids. One of the things that we do is we stay as a resource for our parent if they're having questions in those first couple of months of high school. That tends to be when things are sorting themselves out. But after that, our kids have been generally very successful.
One of the things you mentioned a few moments ago was the financial part of this. Mm-hmm. I know that Miriam is not inexpensive, but I also know that there are opportunities for assistance for students. Tell us about that.
Miriam gives out over $700,000 in tuition assistance. That's what they gave out this year. Mm. We have always had that as part of our mission. We want a school that helps all kinds of kids with all kinds of socioeconomic backgrounds.
Mm. Where does that money come from?
Our administration raises it. We get grants. We have an incredible donor community. Some of them have been supporting us for 75 years. So we have a wonderful group of people who come together to help all the kids who are there.
Are a lot of them graduates and families of graduates?
Not necessarily. Some are. But many of them, Miriam was an organization that was founded in St. Louis in 1910. So we have grandmothers, mothers, daughters of people who have been involved in our organization for, you know, as I said, 75 years.
But the school itself was established when?
1956. We are reaching out now to the corporate world also to help continue our scholarship ability.
Well, let's hope that it keeps coming. Obviously, you're doing an important job. As our time begins to wind down, there's a question I had for you, because you've been in this business of working with learning disabilities for 35 years, I think was the figure that I had. How has that changed in 35 years?
The diagnostic process has become far more sophisticated. We are able to find out small things that are hampering children's learning. So that's one. Another is the acceptance of kids with learning disabilities. At the beginning of that time, people didn't really understand. Now, all kinds of people have come forth and said, I've had a learning disability. We have celebrities who do that. So the acceptance is just wonderful.
Makes all the difference in the world.
Absolutely it absolutely does.
As our time winds down, I'm going to ask each of you to put a cap on this. Melissa, what do you want the takeaway to be from people who are listening to you today?
I would say for anybody listening who has had a child struggle and you're looking for alternate opportunities, definitely look into Miriam's school. There's other schools out there that I know say they specialize in learning disabilities, but I think the difference with Miriam is that they accept the whole child and realize that these learning disabilities are complex and, you know, it's an amazing place, and it's worth looking into.
We'll put a link to the website, by the way, on our website so that folks can learn more that way. Emma, what would you like to say to wind up?
I'd like to say I definitely agree with my mom. And
that's a good thing.
Yeah. And I
first time. Right.
And if there's anyone listening from Miriam, I'd like to give a shout-out to them and just say hi. And say thank you to everyone.
And finally, Joan?
I'm hoping that programs like this help get the word out about learning disabilities in general and also about our program. We have so many offerings. We provide 5 or 6 parent workshops in the evening throughout each school year. We have the Miriam Switching Post, which is a reseller shop, which also provides support for our school. So I'd like people to know more about Miriam.
Well, again, we'll put a link to your website on our website at stlpublicradio.org. Thank you, Joan Holland, for being with us, and Melissa and Emma Wallace, thank you. Good luck to you, Emma, as you move on.
Thank you so much
for being with us. When we come back, the discussion on whether we should or should not continue to tip in restaurants. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio 90.7 KWMU.